And now, Deirdre Nealon, editor of Upstate Medical University's literary and visual arts journal, The Healing Muse, with this week's selection.
Thank you, Linda. We tell our medical and nursing students to remember that the medical story they are trying to figure out from each patient sitting before them can be further illuminated by listening to the patient tell his or her story in their own words. Robin Nagowski was a medical student when she wrote the poem Anybody Listening, which gives us the same story from these two different perspectives. Anybody listening? I pour myself another cup of coffee, wishing it were 7 and I could go home. The coffee maker sizzles and burns the bottom of the pot as I slide it back. I stand there, stealing a few more minutes, letting the sound soothe me. I try not to think about the last patient I saw. He didn't speak English, the third today. It takes so much energy to understand them, while the time clicks, forcing me forward, reminding me there's never enough. What's the point? I walk back to the nurse's station. My coffee sloshes in the styrofoam cup. I don't even try to stop the spilling. As I walk past the patients, I see a familiar face, though it's certainly not familiar to him anymore. I know I will be seeing him next, and I prepare for battle. I take him to the last room in the hall. The isolation might support intimacy and trust. I need him to trust me. You need to let me help you, I tell him. Stay here so we can help you. I stare at his jaw, almost disgusted. I can't imagine why he waited so long. Why didn't you listen last time? I know before he stutters that he isn't going to stay. They never do. They come to me for help, then don't let me. I hand back his loose papers and soiled vanilla envelope, knowing that the belongings he offered will not help me convince him to stay. I ask him to come back tomorrow for treatment to begin, then I turn away. He won't return. He's done this before. I take another coffee in defeat, and the bitter taste warms me. I close my eyes, count to 10, then walk back through dingy white hallways, past patients lined up in anticipation, into Section B. I take the next patient. 2. I don't know why I chose to come here today. To delay further, I smoke a cigarette. Maybe this will be my last. I smoke another. Inside, I need something to do with my hands. It would help pass the time. Eternity is not the word I would choose, but when my name is called, I long for it. I know there's something wrong and has been. I can't look at myself in the mirror. They talk to me, ask some questions, then point me toward another piece of the maze. Again, I wait. Time clicks. I fidget, not out of worry or fear, but out of need. I hear my name. He takes me to a room, far away in the shadows of the hall. Is it easier to look at me here? He talks. I think he's trying to help, but I can't stay here. No one would be able to take care of Mac, I tell him. I show him a picture. I think he saw it. He must have. I can't stay here. I don't know what you want to do, but I have to go home to Mac. I need him. I go outside again to breathe fresher air. I light up, and the taste warms me. I reach for my jaw habit and remember what it used to feel like. Even if I stay here, I doubt it would ever be the same. I told that nice man I would return tomorrow for more tests. I think that's what he wanted. I know he doesn't expect to see me. I've done this to him before, and others. But I can still breathe. I have Mac. I can't lose him because of this. What's the point? I walk along East Bailey Street, 3 more blocks, 20 more minutes if the bus is on time, then I'm home. Just me and Mac.